So I wanted to reflect particularly, even though we're dealing with the latter part of it, the story of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. And one of the things that's beautiful part of the dua he makes to Allah is so relevant today. If we look at 12 ayah 101, surah 12 ayah 101, he asks in particular, Ya Allah, you are my protector in this world and in the hereafter. So, you know, what is profound about this this notion of Allah as a protector is that once you have the confidence in Allah as your protector, then it gives you the capacity to be kind, to be caring, to be loving to others, because you don't carry around this notion that everyone is your enemy, that you are out to be targeted constantly, because you have the protection of Allah in this world and inshallah in the hereafter. So some of the things that I wanted to reflect about the surah in particular is we know that was given as a gift of comfort to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It was unique in that it came in the revelation in its form in with its full integrity to him in revelation. And that by many commentators was seen as a comfort. Because one of the things that's really important to keep in mind when we study the Quran is to read the meaning of what we see, but to understand when and how it was revealed. So we know the surah came as a gift to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after his year of sorrow. And this was an incredibly difficult time for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam early in his mission, when he lost his protector, his uncle, Abu Talib. And one of the beautiful things about that relationship, his protector was actually a non-Muslim. So it teaches us that in this time, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was under the protection, especially when Muslims at this time, we know earlier in the mission in Mecca, were under so much assault, were under so much pain and suffering. In many ways, if you think about our times now, if people feel even one third of that kind of pain and suffering that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through, to keep in mind that, you know, there are if there are such wonderful allies in other communities, and so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his own uncle found such a great comfort and protection. So, as you know, my work is in interfaith relations, so I just want to remind us that this is a beautiful example, and that when, for instance, our houses of worship have been attacked, whether mosques have been attacked, synagogues have been attacked, we have been able to stand with each other. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful story that we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as he received the surah. Another thing that I think is really important is during this time, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had just come out of a multi-year boycott by the tribe of his communities. And it was an incredibly difficult, it was economic and described as an economic and social boycott. And in these days, we think about things like the Muslim ban, where Muslims are not allowed, for instance, into the United States for different reasons. And you know what was profound? Scholar Dr. Hamidullah attributed the ultimate failure of the boycott, a multi-year boycott, both economic and social, against the early Muslim community. Dr. Hamidullah says that the failure of the boycott was actually due to the humanity of four or five non-Muslims. They were, he says, more humane than the rest. And it is really, I think, another lesson to keep in mind, that in times when Muslims are under stress, when Muslims are dealing with problems, when Muslims are dealing with, perhaps even at times we feel an existential threat, that our very existence is being threatened, that it was at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that these allies, as Dr. Hamidullah says, these allies from the community of other faiths, of other religions, of other backgrounds, were the ones that broke the boycott, and ultimately that boycott was not able to continue. So it shows us that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that part of our mission as we know, is not to just be building strong relations with each other, which are always important, especially in the month of Ramadan. It's also important to keep in mind that there are others of other traditions that are brave, that stand with us. And it's a lesson not just to receive that, to build those relationships, but to understand that we may be called to do the same for others. So it's I think, a really beautiful lesson. Dr. Hamidullah points this out. So this notion of living under pressure, of living under times of sorrow, thinking through to look at who have been and who are the allies that are standing with us, who and how do we strategically build with our other communities, how do we think through being able to live not just on our own and not just as a closed, insular, withdrawn community. But you see that Prophet Muhammad's very mission in many ways was dependent on the Sahaba and the families of Muslims and the Ummah of Muslims, but it was also very intertwined with relationships of other communities. I also wanted to point out another very difficult thing that happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this time, Prophet Muhammad. He went to visit the village or the city of Taif, and he was humiliated there even by the children and was left bleeding. His face, if you read the descriptions from different biographies of his life, he was left bleeding from this place. And he, as you can imagine, you're already dealing with so much difficulty. This was a time when he was facing so much loss. And so he's leaving, walking away from the city, and is given a choice, really, in this moment, someone who has access to all of Allah's bounty, Allah's favor, Allah's support, is given a choice whether that village and that community should be punished, whether they should be given a recompense for what happened to him. And what's beautiful is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually chose mercy and did not choose retribution, did not choose punishment for them, but instead took this message. And another ayah of the Quran tells us that one of the qualities of a believer is that we have sabran jamila, this idea of a beautiful patience, not just a patience that's easy, not just a patience that comes when we're facing difficulty, that we should excel in a patience that in, I talk about it in my work, we embody hope. So that when we walk into a room, others feel the beauty of our patience, and we inspire others to be patient. You know, a lot of times patience is seen as passive, that I'm here and I'm subjected to something, I'm dealing with something, you're pushing me to do something, and I'll just be passive. But what we see in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example is that actually patience in its beauty is active. It means that we respond when we have the choice between revenge, we take the path as he did of forgiveness and love. That when we are faced with a boycott, we build relationships, we build solidarity, we build strategies to deal with it. Patience is about planning. Patience is about building relationships. Patience is about knowing that when we have the protection of Allah, that one of the things we need to do is remember that that patience comes not just from being passive, but being actively engaged in the community, being actively engaged in our relationship with Allah. And so inshallah, the story of both Yusuf alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remind us that we turn to Allah not just when things are good, but when there is a struggle, when there is a difficulty, when there is a complexity, and that it allows us to remember that the protection of Allah in this life and the hereafter should be one that gives us confidence to go into the world, deal with the difficulties, be engaged in community, and deeply reflective of our relationship with God as one that is a source of comfort, a source of confidence, and ultimately gives us the capacity to deal with the difficulties that are out there in the world, both for our community and in solidarity with others, inshallah. And I wanted to remind you that we are so blessed in this time of this pandemic to be able to connect with one another through these digital means, but it takes a lot of effort from our staff at the masjid. Even though we're not going to the masjid physically, subhanAllah, the benefits that you're getting, inshallah, just from the small bit of learning that I hope you, you know, were able to share with us tonight, that you remember to give generously, especially in this month when our when whatever we do gets even more reward, don't hesitate to benefit from the reward of giving in the month of Ramadan. And since I won't be with you again in this month, I also wanted to encourage you to remember as we move through the phases of Ramadan that forgiveness is such an important part of this month. And, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodies that in how he dealt with the community of Taif, that he was able to seek forgiveness. And ultimately, we know that that was a community that becomes important in the history of Islam as well. So people's hearts will change, and that if we demonstrate our capacity to forgive each other, perhaps it will soften our hearts to one another, especially in these days when we need one another more than ever. So please go to the Facebook page or the website of Islamic Center of Southern California and consider some form of giving however you can, whatever little you can give, inshallah. Shukran, jazakumullahu khairan. I am so delighted to be here, and I wish you the best of Ramadan for the rest of this month, inshallah.